Great to see everybody here now that we've had our gusts and the wind blowing and keeping us awake all night. It's just good to see that the Lord just continually wants to clean out our trees and clean out the dead wood, and of course then we have to clean up the ground under it. So anyway, nice to see everybody here, power outages being what they are, and quite a few people were without power this morning, so we'll pray for any that are still without power. In our bulletin, if you'll open your bulletins, we'll go through them as quickly as we can. Our reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 15. There's four verses there to read from that chapter. And we'll be doing two psalms this morning, both short psalms, Psalm 28 and 29. But they go together, they fit hand in glove, and it's just a wonderful reminder of what the Lord is doing, not only in David's life, but in our lives as well. Our schedule this week is our normal schedule with ladies' Bible study at 10 a.m. Monday morning. All of the ladies are encouraged to attend if they can, if that fits in their schedule. Thursday, we're back here for our ongoing study as we continue through the book of Judges this time, and that's open to everybody. Saturday is men's prayer, and of course, that is always open to everybody that would like to come in for prayer, for fellowship, a cup of coffee, hands laid on, anointing, whatever it may be, whatever the need may be. On our announcements, we have a flyer in here to kind of give us a reminder during the week that this is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Many of the pregnancy outreaches around the country celebrate today this way, and this is a kickoff for CareNet Pregnancy Center of Wayne County for their annual baby bottle fund drive. So if you'd the baby bottles are over on the side. If you're interested in picking one up and taking it home, take one to the office with you or to work. Let other people know what it is. It's even a great icebreaker to have somebody come up to you and say, "What the heck is the baby bottle doing on your desk?" Just to let them know that it's to support the unborn more than anything. The baby bottle fund drive runs from today through February 24th. So if you do take a bottle home, we would hope that you will bring it back on or by the 24th of February. Let's see. On our prayer request sheets, we have all of our folks that we've been praying for a long time. In particular, though, we want to just highlight Bill Turner and his wife Donna. Bill is going through cancer treatments, and he's having quite a time of it. But he's talking about the Lord. How do you make peace with God? How do you talk with God? And so it's important that that he comes to the conclusion that he can speak to God at will, because Jesus is always within earshot of those that love him and are looking for relief from their difficulties. We also have Valerie that we've been praying for a long time. She called last night and she said she's suffering from a lot of body aches and pains, and so she's asking for prayer that it isn't the flu setting in on her. She has enough difficulties already without having the additional problems of having of coming down with the flu. We also have Joy and Bill Davis that we're going to add to the list here this morning. Bill is Belinda's son, and Joy is his wife. Bill is struggling with all kinds of different things. The doctors have identified a fairly large tumor. They said that it's not a cancerous tumor, but there seems to be some mixed ideas because it is a carcinogenic tumor of some kind. So we'll just lift him up before the Lord. And he's also dealing with urinary tract infections and a couple of other things that bother him. So you could just pray for Bill. He does know the Lord, so we're grateful for that. We're also praying for Marge and for Bill. Bill Houghton is back in the hospital again with congestive heart failure, and they're just draining off the fluid as much as they can to make him comfortable and to help him with his breathing. We're praying for Carol King this morning. Carol called yesterday, and she's down with the flu and kind of achy all over and not feeling good, and And don't tell her I said this, but she sounds awful on the phone. you know that she's not well. So pray for her with her breathing and everything else that she's going to need. Pray that the Lord would just heal her up quickly. We're praying for the Reliers and the Ritzes, Nora's parents. We're praying also for the Breslins and the McCanns. Maureen Breslin, who just lost her husband a couple of weeks ago, she started a new job this week, and she's very excited about it. And she did great. And Jean was telling us on Thursday night that she was so happy and excited about the job that the first thing she wanted to do was to call Gary and let him know how well things went. And unfortunately, that wasn't possible, but I think Gary knows. Anyways, we're also putting Carlos on the list this morning. He's struggling with some liver problems, so he's going to be in and out until they find out just exactly what's going on with his liver. So you can just pray for all of these folks here from the body and from the periphery of the body as well. We're praying also for Tim Mumpson in the Philippines, the Kellys and Moses in Tanzania, David LeCompte in Afghanistan. We're praying for our military, both here and abroad, wherever they're stationed, and praying for their families that are probably not necessarily with them, especially if they're in one of the war zones someplace. We're praying for our government leaders. We have the inauguration coming up, and we just want to pray that the Lord would just touch our president and bring him to a close relationship with himself. And we pray also the same thing for the vice president, for all of the cabinet, for our state leaders, for our local leaders, everybody. We are praying also for our prisoners that we're in touch with, Cleverson and Danny and Ismael and Luis, the two Sams and their chaplains, and also parolee Jim in Buffalo. We're praying for the peace of Jerusalem that the Lord directs us to specifically in the scriptures. And we're praying for the hostage situation in Algeria. We're praying for Christian marriages. We're praying for those that are seeking work. May they find a higher power, truly. And we just want to let you know that we love the Lord, and I hope that you'll just join us all with prayers for these folks. Heavenly Father, as we gather together this morning, we're excited about what you have in store for us and how you remind us and how you prophesy that things will come our way. And whether it's the good things or the bad things, your word tells us that you're not a respecter of persons. That whether we're saved or not saved, problems will come, joy will come, blessings will come. But Lord, it's how we respond to each of those different things which divides us from the heathen, from the non-believers. Lord, we pray that you would be with us this morning. We ask for your blessing this morning as we gather together to look at your word and to sing your praises, and we just want to give you all the glory that's due you. We also, Lord, ask that you would touch all of these folks on our prayer list, that you might be glorified in their lives, that you might save those that don't know you, that you would build up and encourage those that do, and that you would just touch and heal all of them, Lord. We ask for righteousness in our government. We ask for righteousness in our own lives, and we ask you to lead us to that righteousness that is yours. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, and we just put today before you. Be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what the weather's doing. As I'm looking out there now, the sun is gone and it's snowing sideways. So fortunately, there won't be any accumulation. She's exercising her lungs for the next praise and worship session, so praise the Lord. If you would turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15, I just want to also let you know with our announcements, next Saturday is going to be a work detail day here as we continue to progress to follow through with the renovations that are going on upstairs and do some more work and complete things. And that's always at about 10 o'clock until 1 or 2 or however long it takes. In our reading this morning from Exodus chapter 15, we will read verses 23 through 26 together. And it's the story of how problems come just in the course of our daily lives and our travels. They're always there, and it depends on how we react and respond to them. If we're looking for the Lord to heal them, or whether we're trying to heal them of our own accord. So in verse 23 of Exodus 15, we'll pick up, and it's during the Exodus. "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which have brought you upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.'" This is where we get one of the combined forms of the name of Jehovah. This is the scripture passage where we get Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. And he's not only healing the people, but he can heal the things that are around us. He can heal this problematic pond or lake of water where they find themselves encamped around, and it's the only water source for them in the wilderness. And it's like, but we can't drink it. To say that the water is bitter is actually a euphemism for it's poisonous. And drinking it, we would all die. And that's our state in the world. That as we go through the waters and we see the storms and we see the things around us, it's an awful lot of things that can kill us. But what can happen is that the Lord puts the cross right in the midst of those problems. He puts this tree right in the midst of these waters that were poisonous. And suddenly they became drinkable. They became exactly what the people needed, because what they really needed to see during a time of their stress, and during their time of their doubt, their wondering. This is one of those times when they're tired of the manna. They're missing the leeks and the vegetables. And now the Lord's saying, "I get tired of the water too. If you don't like any of these things, I can fix it. But it's going to take the cross." And that cross is a symbol of our own self-sacrifice and our own willingness to say, am I satisfied with what the Lord has provided for me? Am I satisfied with what the Lord can provide for me? You know, it's one thing to say, I want to go here, I want to go there, I want to work here, I want to work there, I want to do this, I want to have this kind of a career, I want to have this many children, I want this kind of home. But if we're striving on those things or for those things, and that's not the Lord's will, then how do we possibly expect it to come to pass? You know, they want water, but they've got to come to the cross. When we get to the cross, then everything becomes sweet. Everything becomes appreciated for what it is. And it's nourishment, it's refreshment, it's a time of rest, or it's a time to do sometimes. But in this, he says, "Diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Do all that which is right in his eyes. Will you give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes? And if you do those things, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." The biggest thing that we need to have healed is our heart, our desires, our expectations, and to bring them in line with God's will, his heart, his expectations for us. It takes us back to what the Pharisees and the priests were worried about as the apostles were spreading the gospel, this new doctrine that they were spreading throughout the land in Judea. And the Pharisees, finally one of them says, well, if this is of the Lord, we're not going to be able to stop it. But if it's not of the Lord, they can't keep it going. And it makes us wonder, what's our agenda? What things have we got planned for ourselves? You know, just exactly where do we think the Lord is taking us? And is he giving us the desires of our heart, or is he putting his desires in our heart so that we desire those same things as well? It's a real challenge when we're faced with the fact that nothing's going our way. But the Lord is trying to do something new. He's trying to do something new in each of us. And he's trying to bend our will to his. And for him, that means grace is applied in abundance. Patience is his middle name as he waits for us to come around to his way of thinking. When we look at Psalm 28, we find all of the wonderful things that we've been talking about in these next couple of psalms. As we've gone through the psalms, we've been watching David go through peaks, been on the mountaintop experiences with the Lord. We've seen him down in the valleys of the shadow of death, and even last week. With Psalm 27, we saw how excited that David was because the Lord was very clearly with him. But then again, in Psalm 28 this week, he says, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock." You wonder what's causing him to cry out to the Lord again. And clearly it's the problems of life. It's maybe his own little Mara, the waters of Mara that he's going through, waters that were bitter and poisonous and that would otherwise wipe him out. But we also know that David was a man that was pursued by his enemies. "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." If I don't hear your voice, I'm lost. That's why we can say David had such a heart after the Lord. He needed to hear from the Lord on a regular basis, daily, if not minute to minute. If I don't hear from you, I might as well go down into the pit like all of the wicked. He says, "Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle." You can almost picture David at this point being on his knees with his hands held high facing the holy tabernacle. That's the holy oracle. That's the implication. He's facing Jerusalem. He's looking up to the temple. The holy oracle is the mercy seat atop the Ark of the Covenant. That's where God speaks to his people. And that's why David so desperately wants to hear from him. "Draw me not away with the wicked. Lead me not into temptation," we say in the New Testament with the Lord's Prayer. "Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace in their they speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts." You know, there's an awful lot of people that they speak all of these smooth, nice, kind words, and yet they've got an agenda. They're smart enough to know that you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. And so they use all of these smooth phrases. They use flattery. They act like they're nice neighbors, but they have mischief in their hearts. They're deceivers. He says, "Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands and render to them their desert. Give them what they deserve, Lord. And it's, you know, when we look at what the how the saved are judged, we're judged on our belief. We're rewarded by our good works, but we're saved by our belief, and the works follow. But now, the wicked, since they don't believe, since they reject God's word, there is no salvation issue for them, and they only have their own wicked works where God will judge them by. In Romans chapter 2, it speaks of those that have not heard of Jesus. It speaks of those that are outside, but within themselves, they have the law of the Lord written in their hearts. They know the difference between good and evil, and they know how to do good. And in those cases, for those people, and this answers a question, well, what about all of the, you know, the people that live in the jungle that have never heard the name of Jesus? They're judged by what they know of good and what they know of evil. They're judged by whether they follow good or whether they follow evil. Because that's the law of the Lord that's written in their hearts from the foundation of the earth, from Genesis chapter 3. Now man has become one of us to know good and evil. That's a moral code that we have that is embedded in us, inborn in us, because sin entered the world. So we, you know, when somebody says, well, what about all these people that never heard the name of Jesus? Well, what about the law of good and evil that's written in their hearts? They're born with it. And the Lord says, I will judge them. We know that He is just and He is fair. More than anything else, He is just and He's fair. And so with these, the wicked, they have no belief that they can be judged on, so they can only be judged on their deeds, and their deeds are wicked. And David says, give them what they deserve, render them to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of His hands, and He shall destroy them and not build them up. There won't be any successes in their lives when the Lord works against them. There may be successes in the world. They may gain wealth, but how do they gain wealth? Other than by deceit and trickery and manipulation, because that's all they know. The Lord doesn't build them up. They may build themselves up with worldly wisdom. But David says, blessed be the Lord, because He hath heard the voice of my supplications. He sees that his enemies are not making headway. His enemies are not gaining a handhold over him. Blessed be the Lord, because He hath heard the voice of my supplications. He's heard me time and time again, and the Lord has done that with us as we cry out to Him. That's what sometimes prayer is about. There's prayers of thanksgiving, and there's prayers of need. There's prayers of intercession. There's prayers of humility. And clearly, David's prayers are all a mix of these, because he knows that he can do nothing without the Lord. He knows that he can do nothing, and he wants to do nothing unless he hears directly from the Lord. And so David prays with the expectation that he's going to hear back. He hath heard the voice of my supplications. God hears prayers, and He answers them. And not every prayer is answered with a yes. Sometimes it's answered with a no. Sometimes it's answered with a not yet. Sometimes it's just answered with the answer of wait on the Lord, and He will raise you up. David says, and David has learned all of those things by his life of prayer. He says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. We don't even necessarily have to have a direct answer and a positive answer to our prayer to understand that we've been helped. Sometimes we just need to know that the Lord has answered, regardless of what the answer is. To understand that the Lord has heard our prayer is like, oh, okay, the Lord has heard me. And what does that instill in us? knowing that the great God of the universe, the creator of all things, hears our prayers. It gives us hope. It gives us hope. And there's no spirit that's so poor. There's no spirit poorer than a spirit without hope. As Jesus teaches in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They may be poor in spirit, but they have hope. They may feel downtrodden, cast aside, bypassed. They may feel like they've slipped through the cracks. They may feel like we always get like this close to success. Or maybe we get this close to success, and it's just always out of reach. And the Lord says, but I hear you. You're praying for success down here on earth. I have greater things that you haven't even imagined yet waiting for you in a mansion in heaven. He's gone to prepare that place for all of us. And David is understanding all of that. I am helped. My heart trusted in him. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. We don't even have to have a positive answer to our prayers, and we can still enter into praise and glory to give him all that he's due, everything that he's due, and he is due everything. In the next verse, it says, the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Are you his anointed? We know that Jesus is God's anointed. God the Father is the saving strength of his anointed Son. But his anointed Son is the strength and the salvation of his people, which are anointed for him. Just by believing. David's got a lot of problems in his life. His sons are against him within his family. His enemies are against him from outside the kingdom. He's already gone through so much. He's realized that he's an adulterer, he's a conspirator, he's a murderer. And yet, listen to the joy in him. I've been helped. God has heard my prayers. In spite of my past, in spite of the things that I've done, in spite of the things that I may do in the future, God hears my prayers. He hasn't cast any of us aside. He is the saving strength of his anointed. And David, even as king, he says, save thy people, bless thine inheritance, feed them also, and lift them up forever. Even as king, he doesn't say that these are my people. He says, they are thy people. Save thy people. Bless thine inheritance, Israel. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. Take them back home to you, Lord. When the time is right, take them all back home. You know, it kind of alludes to the rapture if you think about it. Save thy people. Save them from wrath. Save them from their problems. Save them from themselves. Bless thine inheritance. These are the ones that are your holy ones, your adopted people for the Gentiles. It's his chosen people for the Jews. His inheritance. Feed them also. Supply all that they need. And lift them up forever. When their time is done on earth, take them back home. We see David's heart in this psalm. This is a really personal psalm that comes out of David. But this next psalm, it's interesting because we started out today with the first song we sang was My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. In the second verse, it says, when darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. It's a song of a storm. This is a psalm of a storm, Psalm 29. We mentioned in verse 3 of the song this morning, His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When we look at, this is a psalm of nature, clearly. As we get into it, we'll see it. There's other nature psalms with a nature theme. Psalm 8 has a theme of the night and the darkness, and the moon and the stars. Psalm 19 is clearly a psalm of the day. It has that theme in it. There's psalms to sing at night, prayers and praise at night, prayers and praise during the day. But this particular one is a psalm of a storm. And we'll see it as we go. David begins, and in much the same way, in the same flavor of the last psalm, Psalm 28, he says, Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, and worship Him in the beauty of holiness. There's something about the word holiness that I think sometimes we have lost sight of. Holiness is a separateness. It's a beauty all of its own. Holiness is a purity. And when we speak of that kind of purity in the Lord, we speak of His perfection. His unbelievable perfection. It's perfect beauty, perfect grace, love perfected, judgment perfected. And that's the holiness. There's something special about that idea of holiness and the beauty of holiness, because it's undefiled. It's uncorrupted. When we look at Revelation 4:11, it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. All of creation was created for His pleasure. And because He created all of it, He's worthy of all honor and glory and power. To glorify the Lord and to seek His holiness is to really touch some of His beauty and just find ourselves in His presence, being surrounded by nothing that is ugly, nothing that's untoward. There's nothing that would cause embarrassment or shame. In fact, the light of His Word, Jesus Christ, purges every corner of darkness in our hearts. Every single corner. And when we think of that, when we think of being in His presence, even in our quiet, in our little prayer closet, when we get into His presence like that, it's like this peace overwhelms us. It overwhelms us. And we find ourselves falling in love with that peace that only the Lord supplies. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But listen to these next several verses. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. We hear a lot of different descriptions, and we hear this phrase here, the voice of the Lord came unto me. The voice of the Lord spoke unto me. The voice of the Lord revealed this or showed us that. The voice of the Lord is unbelievable. And in Revelations, the voice of the Lord is as the sound of many waters. If you've been to Niagara Falls even once, you know what it's like to stand next to the falls and try to talk to the person next to you. You can't hear them. and they can't hear you. The roar, especially if you're down in the caves and the water is going down the front of the cave, you can't hear anything. It's just, there's the voice of the Lord upon many waters. It's so clear, it drowns out everything else. And there's a holiness about that. That's a very special moment when we understand that I'm hearing so clearly from the Lord that I don't hear any of the other voices that are trying to lure me away or hinder His work. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The Lord of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. I kind of got hung up on that word majesty yesterday as I was preparing for this, and I thought, you know, some of the most majestic scenes that we see are the wonderful mountain views of the Alps or the Rockies. And so I looked for a picture online, and it's on the front of your bulletin today. Up in the northern region, right along the border to Syria, up beyond the Golan Heights, is wonderful Mount Hermon. There's many people that believe that that's the mountain where the Transfiguration took place. Mount Hermon is high enough that there are ski resorts on top of it. And if you go over there on a tour, you know, you can make plans to separate from your tour and take your skis with you, and you can go on a ski vacation in Israel. But the glacier atop Mount Hermon, and from the front of your bulletin, you'll see that there's an awful lot of snow on the top of the mountain. That glacier, as it melts and as it comes down the mountain, it forms one of the three main tributaries that flow into the Jordan River. And when we think of the Jordan River, we might think of this wonderful, wide, placid river where John the Baptist could baptize people and there wouldn't be any problems. But what you really don't realize is that the water comes down with quite a bit of force. And coming from the glacier, it's quite cold. It's not this pure crystal clear. It's this muddy, churned up river that flows with a great deal of force. And the water's cold. And we think about that. Think about those kinds of waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful, and the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. When we look at the majestic views of mountain peaks, we get a glimpse of majesty, but do we see the same kind of majesty in the simplicity of some of the clear waters of Canandaigua Lake? Or some of the unpolluted areas of Ontario Lake? Do we see the majesty of God in a glass of water? His voice is upon the many waters. We drink in water on a regular basis, 8 glasses a day, if you believe the doctors. Do we see the majesty of what the water does to hydrate us, to nurture us, to refresh us, to keep our bodies functioning normally? There's majesty even in a glass of water. It doesn't have to be these stupendous views and scenic overlooks. It can be in the simplest thing that you can even imagine. It can be in your thought life and in your prayer life. As we sit and we think about the beauty of His holiness, because it's majestic. It is majestic. The voice of the Lord in verse 5, it breaketh the cedars. Well, we hear there's a storm coming down through the valley here. In verse 3, it says, His voice is on the many waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. If we look at the other areas along that northern border, not only is Mount Hermon up in the on the eastern border, the northeastern border, but over on the northwestern border are the white mountains, the white mountaintops of the Lebanon range, and just across the range is into the country of Lebanon. But the God of glory is thundering. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It's full of majesty. Can you remember what it was like listening? Maybe if you're out vacationing someplace, or maybe you're in a valley at one time, and you've heard or been able to watch a thunderstorm move its way down the valley towards you. And you hear that rolling thunder, and you hear the rumblings, and you hear the echoes between the mountains or between the hills. That's the Lord coming down. That's the storm that is coming. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. It speaks of the cedars of Lebanon, because that's where an awful lot of the cedars in Israel had their source. He breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also skip like a calf. We've seen pictures of the timbers that lay down on the ground after Mount St. Helens erupted several years ago. Snapped the trees off and they tumbled down the hill. And that's what this speaks of. He's speaking of destruction. He breaketh the cedars, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also skip like a calf. They look like they're just skipping down the mountainside. Lebanon, here's the white mountains of Lebanon. And Syrian, the people that lived in Sidonia or Sidon up along the Mediterranean coast of Lebanon, they called Mount Hermon Syrian because it was right along the Syria border. They skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian, like a young unicorn, they're shaking. The ground is shaking because of this majestic voice of the Lord coming down through the valley. He wants to be that storm in our life that comes in and purges us. It may shake us to the core. It may convict us of sin. It may tell us that it's not a good idea. And why don't you try it this way? He makes trees skip like calves. He shakes mountains. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. So there's lightnings now. Lightning strikes. The trees that have been fallen, they're on fire. This isn't necessarily a pretty or a peaceful picture, what he's describing to us. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness, and the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Kadesh takes us back to the Kidron Valley, where all of the rain that falls on Jerusalem drains outwardly and falls right down into the Kidron Valley. Kadesh means a place that is sanctified and set apart. And indeed, that is exactly where today you'll find a valley that's lined with graves. The graves of the Palestinians on one side and the graves of the Jews on the other side. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forests, literally uncovers the forests. He strips the foliage out of the forests. There's nothing left up in the treetops, that canopy of leaves and branches that provides cooling shade in the woods. He uncovers them. He causes the hinds to calf, the deer in the wilderness, with the voice of the Lord, with a shaking. It's enough that it causes pregnant hinds, deer, to give birth to their calves necessarily before their time. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. See, there's a wonderful glory that we see, a wonderful peaceful glory, but there is a magnificent majestic, powerful glory that is purging and sometimes can shake us right to the core. When we find ourselves at odds with the Lord and not following His agenda, not going through those doors that He opens for us, sometimes we have to have be shaken right to the core. We need that wake-up call. And we see that glory coming at us and we think, what am I doing? We're convicted immediately. Why is this coming upon me? Why am I going through such difficulties? When we finally get to His temple, though, the people that are in a worshipful mode, they see a storm coming and they seek refuge in this wonderful temple in Jerusalem. They get into that temple and they know that the temple is like rock solid. They find that in the presence of the Lord, near the Holy of Holies, in His sanctuary, they can find refuge, they can find strength, and they can find the comfort of their brothers and sisters around them. Where do you go when you're in a storm? Do you go hide in your basement? Do you look for the storm cellar? Do you look for that place that you've made for yourself? Or do you run to the Lord and your brothers and sisters in Christ to find the peace and the refuge that you need? Do you seek out counsel from godly people, or do you seek out counsel from those that are in the world? Oh, we've got to do something about the forests now. That's the sound of the wind blowing up there. It's causing the styrofoam to flex. I wonder if the voice of the Lord is trying to get in or if it's trying to get out. It's kind of eerie, isn't it? And it makes you wonder, where's the rest of the world? Where's our family? We know that we're here. We're in this little sanctuary where the Holy Spirit has just dropped in on us and caused us to find one congregation of one mind, loving the Lord Jesus Christ. The sun's out again. Storm systems come in and they blot out the sun, and the storm is back, or the sun is out. The storm comes back, the clouds cover us over, and the sun is out later. You know, we laugh about our Rochester weather. Just, if you're not happy with it, well, wait 10 minutes, it'll change. But that's how our lives are like. Nothing in our lives is permanent. It's in a constant state of flux. What's good one moment will not necessarily be good the next. But we know that because the Lord is with us, He is providing for us everything that we need. As we read back in Exodus, if we will listen to His word, when we will hold up His commandments, when we will follow Him, He will cause none of those diseases which fell upon Egypt to come upon us. It says in verse 10, "The Lord sitteth upon the flood." Well, now it's not just the thunder and the lightning and the fires on the hills from the trees. Now there's a flood coming because of the downpour, the torrential downpour. If you've ever seen that come up the valley, you know that it's going to be a blinger. My father and I used to sit on our back porch, and we used to, you probably did the same thing. You used to listen to the lightning, or see the lightning, and then count how many seconds it took for the thunder to get to you. And you had an idea where the center of the storm was and how far away it was and how close it was coming. But the Lord sitteth on the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. See, He's the king of the storm, not just the king of peace. He's the king that oversees everything that comes our way. And sometimes it's to get our attention, and sometimes it's just to bless us and peace us out. He sits upon the flood. He sitteth king forever. Verse 11 closes out the psalm, and it says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. Are you one of his people? How many storms have we got going these days? There's one on every side, isn't there? There's one on every side. There's family situations. There's economic situations. There's health situations. There's sin situations in our lives. And the Lord says, I want to be the king of those also. I want you to turn all over all of those controls to me, God says. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. It's that peace that surpasses all understanding. We see the storm coming. We see it getting closer. We may be in the midst of it, and yet the Lord says, I've got some peaceful moments for you ahead if you'll just follow my commandments, dwell on my word, fall in love with my son. After a storm passes, what happens? The winds calm down. The clouds dissipate. The sun comes back out. The temperature warms up. And we find ourselves basking in the majesty of the sun that he created for us. We find a sense of peace that comes into our lives. And the Lord tells us in I think it's in Hebrews, it says, no chastening for the time present is pleasant, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. If we endure the chastening, peace comes. If we endure the exposure to the elements, peace comes. And the Lord just wants us to know that he has nothing but good in mind for us. As we came here this morning, one of the intersections we went through, it was just covered with evergreen needles and little teeny branches and pine cones. You weren't driving on pavement. You were driving on the debris that was from right next to from the road being next to this stand of pine trees. The Lord purged out all of the old dead growth, and it took a mighty wind to do it. Don't be afraid of the storm. Let him have his work in you. Let him purge out those old dead needles and those old dead pine cones. They won't crunch under your tires. They won't crunch under your feet. You'll be on the firm footing of the rock, is where you'll be. Now, this psalm has not only this application about what the Lord wants to do in our lives. We know that the sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. The rain falls on the wicked and the just. The storms come, and the Lord's not a respecter of persons. But this also alludes to another storm. This alludes to Armageddon. It's interesting that this storm is not coming off the Mediterranean like most storms do in Israel. This is a storm coming down from the north, from Lebanon. In Ezekiel 38, it speaks of the nation of Gog and Magog, its leader. It speaks of the people of Tobolsk and the Mushkis, Meshach and Tubal, it lists. If you run one of the meridians north up through Jerusalem, you will find that meridian goes right through Moscow. Out of the north comes a storm And this psalm applies to that same attack coming from the north. And the Lord is encouraging his people. People will be flocking to the temple. People will be flocking to Petra. They will be in awe of the majesty that they see, the terrible majesty that they see. And they will be looking for the glorious majesty of the Lord to protect them. And they will cry out to him, and he will save them. As this storm comes down through Lebanon, it comes right down through the Jordan Valley. It comes right down through Megiddo, or the Valley of Megiddo, which is called Har Megiddo in Hebrew. We look at what lies ahead in prophecy for Jerusalem and for Israel, but we see Jerusalem and Israel as a little, well, we see our own lives as a little microcosm of what's going to happen in that nation. See, Israel is us. And there's a battle going on in our lives, in our little valley of Armageddon. And the Lord so desperately wants to give us peace. He so desperately wants to bring us home. But he can't do it unless we are finally willing to say, "Take over, Lord. I can't fight this battle. I can't go through this storm. I can't win. The things are stacked against me. The weaponry is too great. The weapons of warfare I'm not strong enough to handle. I only have your word to lean on. I only have your sense of peace and your righteousness to lean on. That's all I have." And the Lord says, "Well, that's enough. That's enough, because I'm the king over the battle. I control how strong the battle will be. And I know how strong you are, and I know how weak you are too. And I know that your weakness is greater than your strength." And the Lord says, "Trust me. Trust me. I'll get you through it. But turn yourself over to me. Turn yourself over to Jesus," is what the Lord is saying. "I'll get you through it." The voice of the Lord is strong enough to cause deer to calve early. The voice of the Lord is strong enough to strip off the canopy of the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. They all see what's going on, because after the storm, there's a renewal that happens. There's renewal that happens. And that renewal, part of that renewal is our life with Christ. Our lives are hid in Christ if we'll let them be. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with strength. We opened up with a prelogue in this, the first two verses, and we're closing out with the last two verses, which is an epilogue. And the storm that's in the middle is the story. I don't think it's a coincidence that we've got this strong wind blowing through the area today. I don't think it's a coincidence that it was like 48 degrees last night and it's supposed to be 17 tomorrow. We know that the storms will be here and the winds will be strong. Let the Lord's winds have their mighty work in you. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We look for that day of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the storm that you sent us. We thank you for the power outages, and thank you for the power restorations. Lord, restore all of us. We place ourselves in your hand. Strip off the top foliage of our high trees. Lord, cause the ground under our feet to shake. Lord, wake us up and draw us to your side. Draw us together in fellowship. And let us worship your holy name and give you glory, all the glory that you deserve. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. We praise your name. We ask you to walk with us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. From Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week in the Lord.